expanding teams into the Big Ten. Well, that's really easy to say when right now you'd have to go take them. But if you had teams that, say, the Pac-12 or ACC that aren't happy with their current contractual status or whatever, it's one thing to say we're not going out there looking for them, but the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC aren't going to be turning down teams that fit their view. That's crazy to think that's going to happen. I think this is one of the, you know what, I'm going to hold this one because I think this is a really big story. It's about the NFL, about the quarterback class coming in, about some of the other things that happened during the week and everything. I'm going to save this one. I'm going to take a snapshot, and I'm going to use that coming up. This is the other one, too. So only two Warriors have ever scored 28-plus points in each of the first five games of a playoff run. Wilt Chamberlain, when he played for the Warriors, it was the Los Angeles Warriors, and Steph Curry. We're getting to a point where Steph Curry's getting up there. He's not going to be LeBron. He's not playing until he's 38. His body's just not the same. We got a couple more years left of Steph Curry, who changed basketball. We need to enjoy them. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. A little bit more of me, B Styles, coming in, 521. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Second hour of this Friday. Please be careful out there. A little windy, a little wet. Get home safe. Enjoy the weekend. Hope everybody had a great week. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ. Website 1700thechamp.com. Twins and Royals Saturday, Sunday, both of them 12:30-ish. Tuesday, Wednesday next week, they play the White Sox. Cubs, I don't know how they're going to do on current weather. The game is supposed to be at 7:08. It's a fireworks game. Got some Iowa Oaks. Got a little poster going on Saturday. Catch on the field, social Saturday. Fishing poles on Saturday for the first, and I think I just heard Randy say the first 100. Sunday is kids run, bases, food pantry, kids club, bike to the ballpark, family fun pack, Desmonios Demons, Demonios de Des Moines. It was the Demons of Des Moines. So another cool thing down at Principal Park. I almost called it Sec Taylor because of the Desmonios. I needed to. He said it so good. He said it good yesterday as well. Randy Wehofer, quite literally one of the smartest people that I've ever sat down and had conversations with. It's so much fun. I'm like Scott makes fun of me all the time because I'm like just a giddy little school kid that I get to sit here and I get to ask him questions. I love it. So really enjoy that, as well as I enjoy Des Moines Orthopedic Centers helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, one in West Des Moines, one downtown Des Moines, and one in Ankeny. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Those urgent injury clinics are both at Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at DMOS.com. Also new to DMOS is Engineered Performance by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. Joey Glenn. He does a fantastic job, and it's nice to have them be part of the program. So I was looking through some stuff, and I saw Chris Sims. I enjoy Chris Sims a lot, and I like listening to him. And he had quarterbacks on here. He had his top five quarterbacks were C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Hendon Hooker, Anthony Richardson, an interesting one. He had Dorian Thomas Robinson from UCLA and Will Levis tied for that fifth spot. So Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud all got picked. I would assume The other two will be picked tonight. He kind of hit it out of the park a little bit on running backs. His top two running backs were Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama. A lot of people last night were poo-pooing Jahmyr Gibbs. What in the world are they? What have they been watching? I saw a lot of people have him be the number two running back in there. And once again, I don't care what experts think about if you pick a running back in the first round. It doesn't matter. They have to pay money no matter what. It matters what's best for your football team. That's when I start getting angry at the experts who have never ran a football team, never put together a roster, that they think that they can rip on these teams that do that. Some of these teams need to be ripped on. They're horrible at their jobs. Horrible. But the good ones, man, you better be careful about what you do. He pretty much nailed it on wide receivers. I think he was very surprised that Sam Laporta wasn't up in that tight end. The tight ends have become such a integral part of the NFL. I think he was a little surprised that not more than Dalton Kincaid, unless I missed one. I thought that Dalton Kincaid was the only one that was picked. He nailed it on the tackles. You still have a couple of tackles left that were in his top group, and interior offensive linemen as well. So I think that's going to be the run tonight. They're going to be bulking up on these lines, bulking up on some more corners and linebackers. And I think you're going to see some other people being picked up. I did write down some that I saw today. So Kayvon Merriweather was ranked 113th. So 32-3, that's going to put him in between the third round and the fourth round. If you believe that, Riley Moss was 147, Xavier Hutchinson 166. I think that's really low for Xavier Hutchinson. I think that has more to do with speed than it does with anything else. Jack Campbell was 40. So that means Jack Campbell shouldn't have been picked there from what the ratings did, but he was because he fit a need. Sam Laporta was 41, and he's still available. Lucas Van Ness was 16, and he went 13. So that was pretty – a lot of people ripping on the Green Bay Packers last night too. What are you taking him that early for? He was a 16th-rated prospect, and he got drafted at the 13th spot. That's just – once again – clicks. We're looking for clicks, and I don't necessarily like that. 1, 2, 3, 4 offensive linemen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 defensive ends or defensive tackles. It was a pretty good first round. I think here's a really funny thing. So of those 32 players, it'd be fun to, if I'm still doing this in a couple of years, guys, you never know, you know. The 32 first rounders and the 32 second rounders. There's only 31 first rounders. I don't know how they have 32 on here since it was the 31st pick because of those naughty Miami Dolphins. Sorry, Scott. It's going to be kind of interesting in years past. It's been between 50-50 and 60-40 of second round players making teams and making a bigger contribution than first round draft picks. The NFL draft has nuggets in there. Really, really, really good nuggets that you have to find. A golden nugget. You have to go, you have to search for it. You have to sift through it. You have to run dirt and water and everything through it, and you get lucky. The crazy thing about me saying that you have to get lucky is that it's for a lot of these teams and their organizations, it's not about luck. That's the crazy thing. It's not about luck. I took a look at this. I'm looking at it right now. I have them pulled up. I mean, I look at the AFC East. Buffalo Bills, great organization. Miami Dolphins, getting back to being a good organization. New England Patriots, a little stubborn, but getting there. And the New York Jets. The New York Jets are on the rise. They've made a couple of moves. The Baltimore Ravens, if you'd have talked to me 2 weeks ago, I'd say they were horrible. But now things are falling together. Cincinnati Bengals have been horrible for a long time and are starting to come around. The Cleveland Browns, I still think, are questionable. And I think the biggest thing about the question about that the for the biggest way is for the Cleveland Browns as an organization to make Deshaun Watson, with everything that was going on in that time frame, seems a little ostentatious to me that you would give him a guaranteed contract at that amount of money. I don't think there were a lot of people that were sticking up and saying, hey, you need to do this. With the Pittsburgh Steelers, what can you say about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Consistency. That's what you can say. It's from my buddy Jamie. The Houston Texans have a long way to go. They need to rebuild from the ground up, and that's what they're trying to do. They had a really good first night. Now they need to have a good second night and third night. And if they can do that, they're going to be in a really good place. The Indianapolis Colts are trying to build their way. New coach, new attitude. Here's the deal. The Indianapolis Colts will be the talk of the NFL if Anthony Richardson is real. I don't know if Anthony Richardson is real. I don't know that he had great coaching at Florida. And I don't know everything, but I saw the look. And I saw the in awe of him throughout this whole thing last night. I listened to the interview. I think they got a really good chance, and I like that. So when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars on their way up, boy, they tried to destroy themselves, but they're on their way up. The Tennessee Titans, they have some work to do. They're on the downslope. They have a new stadium coming in. You have to be ready to go and compete like they did before that new stadium is finished, so you're ready to jump in. And I believe, and man, I love their coach. He's got to get to that next level. And It's 2023. You got to play like it's 2023. But I never tell him that to his face. He's too darn big. I think the Broncos are still going to struggle. I just think that's just the way it's going to be for them. The Kansas City Chiefs are right now. They're what everybody in the league strives for. It really is. I mean, they do things different. They do things right. They have no issue with they let people go, they rebuild, they do all that. Las Vegas Raiders, I think ownership makes that really, really difficult. And that's what I'm talking about. When you're looking at these teams and you're looking at their drafts and you're looking at everything they do, you just have some teams that can't get out of their own way. I think the Las Vegas Raiders are one of those. I think the Los Angeles Chargers have been one of those. I think the Arizona Cardinals have been one of those. I think the Los Angeles Rams have been one of those. And then you get to two organizations that are really, really run well, the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. If they're down, they're down a year. And most times they're down a year because of injuries, not because of anything else. I think the Atlanta Falcons have an owner that wants to win. I just think the organization needs to... they need to step up as well. The Carolina Panthers get a start over. It's not a money issue. It's a environment issue. And they need to get over that. The New Orleans Saints are kind of in the same boat. They were so good for so long. Same with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady, he could change the warts and the dots and all the things, but it's still the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Chicago Bears are on that teetering point there as well. They have an asset, and they don't know how to coach it and use it. They better figure it out. I want to believe in the Detroit Lions. I want to believe in Dan Campbell. I want to believe they know what they're doing. I don't know that to be true. The Minnesota Vikings are getting ready to be at a crossroads because I do not believe that after next year that Kirk Cousins is going to be their quarterback. And so that means they have to go find a quarterback. And I think once that relationship is broken and he goes somewhere else, I think he's going to be that same guy. He's going to win 8, 9, 10, 11 games. You're not going to love him. You're not going to hate him. You're just going to go, ugh. It's like kissing your sister. I don't have any siblings, so I don't know. The Washington Commanders, I think, can only go up. Now they don't have a jerk of an owner. They have somebody that'll put more money into the program than money in their pockets. They won't mistreat people. They don't come from that type of environment. The NFL should be extremely embarrassed about how long it took. That's a black eye for the NFL. It's horrific. A horrific black eye. The Philadelphia Eagles is in the Kansas City Chiefs. And there's not a lot of others that maybe the San Francisco 49ers. Their organizations are just different. They're run different. They expect different. Everybody's on the same page. There's no aloofness out there. You can't say the same for the Dallas Cowboys. It should be the Jerry Jones Cowboys, not the Dallas Cowboys. The interesting one is the New York Giants. They've had a lot of time that they can't get out of their own way. And they brought in a coach that I thought was going to do a really good job. And I said, the only thing that's going to hold him back, and this is no slight to Brian Daboll, he doesn't look the part. But boy, does he coach the part. And that team bought in. They made the playoffs. That team, like 2 wins, 3 wins, 1 win. They just needed, somebody. It's no different than the Jacksonville Jags with Doug Peterson. I mean, Philadelphia ran him out of town. And there's another one, too. I said something about Dan Campbell. You have to say the same thing about Nick Sirianni. Awful first interview. Awful press conference. And now look where they're at. They are the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers. The Pittsburgh Steelers, to a certain extent, they don't have losing seasons. Those organizations understand what it takes to do all this stuff. And I think that's really exciting for everybody when you see that. You're going to see tonight, and when the rankings come out after tonight, look at the rankings on who people thought were good. There were no teams that we have question when we just went through that we had question marks about. None of those teams are up there with people saying, hey, they had a great draft last night. And when it gets to the second round, I think you're even going to see less of those teams. The teams that win championships are the guys that are going to pull people from the third round, the fourth round, the fifth round, and make them into football players for your organization that are going to let you win games. That's what those good teams do. That's what the Kansas City Chiefs do. That's what the Philadelphia Eagles do. And they take advantage when they have first-round picks on who they pick and how they perform. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. B Styles coming in. I can't wait to hear who his winners, losers, how he liked what his teams did. Welcome back in, everybody, once again. Happy Friday. Drive safe. Get home. Enjoy the weekend. Lots going on. A lot's going on this show. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. as well. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provide quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa. Provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services. They believe they should provide the first line of defense in proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, and provide a peace of mind in protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebuildingbldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. My next guest, I couldn't wait, can't wait to get to talk to him. It's B Styles. He is at the B Styles on Twitter. B, how you doing, brother?
Doing good. And before I give your audience my takes here on what the Bears did and what happened with the two Iowa players that got drafted last night, I got to ask you, since this is your show, I know you're a Raven fan, but are the Jets officially your second favorite team now between drafting Hall last year, signing Lazard a month ago, and now last night, not only drafting Will McDonald, but ending that long streak or long drought, rather, that Iowa State had with first-round picks?
You know, they have to be 1B, and if Lamar Jackson wasn't at Baltimore, they'd probably be 1A, and I did some reverse psychology saying I didn't care, I don't care about Baltimore, blah, blah, blah. I did, and yesterday they did the right thing, B. When you have a quarterback like that, you sign him, and you don't let him go.
Right. And it goes back to what I said to you the other day when I was on, which was, you know, the whole thing with them getting Odell, to me, they wouldn't have done that and he wouldn't have agreed to go to Baltimore if they didn't think that there would eventually be some sort of agreement with it, with Lamar and the Ravens. And it, obviously, it makes sense, you know, especially when you saw that there wasn't going to be a market for him. It just made sense for him to kind of go back to Baltimore. I know he didn't get the fully guaranteed contract, but he still got like quite a bit there. It's not definitely nine figures in terms of guaranteed money. And, you know, it obviously works out great for the Ravens because they get to keep their franchise QB for the foreseeable future.
Yep. And he doesn't have to pay $5 million for anybody. So all those people out there saying he was all wrong for not having an agent, he lucked out. I mean, that's what I'm, I think that's a really funny thing about Lamar Jackson. I think he's a lot more intelligent than what people give him credit for. And,
absolutely.
And I think but he did get lucky because sometimes that stuff doesn't work out like that. Now, working out for your Chicago Bears, excited about Darnell Wright? I was.
Yeah. I'll say this. I'm pleased by the pick. I think Paris Johnson, if he had still been there at 9, I think I would have preferred him. But he was off the board. Arizona got him at 6. And then the one kind of wild card I wondered about was if they were going to roll the dice with Bijan Robinson, but then Atlanta took him at 8. And just given what Ryan Pohl said last night without actually saying it, you got the sense that Jalen Carter was not really on the Bears board, which is why I think they were content with doing that trade in Philadelphia. So being able to come away with an offensive tackle, I think it's great. And I'm fine with the fact that they're going to probably use him as a right tackle because Braxton Jones panned out. You know, he was the one guy, even though he was a fifth-round pick from Southern Utah, he took every single snap at left tackle last season. And so when you have that, that means you got your guy there. So the fact that they have both tackle positions solidified now definitely makes me more comfortable, especially when you have a guy like Justin Fields as your quarterback. And you know, I think that they still have a lot of draft capital here over these next 2 days. They could easily get another offensive lineman that could be in the interior, probably at center, as somebody that could potentially replace Cody Whitehair. And I think you're set as far as the O-line is concerned. As far as what I think they might do here tonight, specifically with the second and third rounds, they got 3 picks, at least, you know, right now, barring any trades. I could see them addressing the D-line, whether it be that defensive tackle, that 3 technique that Jalen Carter would have been if they had taken him, or getting another pass rusher. I think both of those are on the table. I think getting another wide receiver is on the table, and possibly even a corner. I know Jalen Johnson's there, and they drafted Kyler Gordon last year, but it wouldn't hurt to add a little more depth to that secondary. So I think there's a lot of different directions they could go, and thankfully they have the picks to be able to do it all. And, you know, I don't think it's going to address everything by week's end, but it's definitely a step in the right direction, and I think the pick that they made last night was certainly a pick in the right direction.
And I agree with you. I think it's fine. I love the fact that the Chicago Bears said, no matter what, Jalen Carter doesn't fit. And I'm good with that. Right. I think that's fair.
And here, there's two other thoughts with this. One, I can respect the fact that Ryan Poles went into this with a board, with a plan, and he, at least to this point, he stuck to it, you know, and he didn't let any kind of like flashes or guys maybe unexpectedly dropping suddenly, you know, change that plan. I think it was clear from the get-go they wanted to take an offensive lineman, and they were able to get the guy they wanted. And I'll say this with regards to Jalen Carter. I think he ended up in a great spot there with Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
Look, the Bears were not in a position to take that kind of risk. I think if they were a better team, you know, and if they had maybe not the same exact success that Philadelphia had, but if they were in a position like the Eagles or like the 49ers, then I think you could roll the dice on something like that. But with Philadelphia, I mean, it's blowing my mind how they're getting – they now have four guys off of what is arguably one of the best defenses in college football in the last – Yeah, exactly. They drafted four guys between getting Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean last year, and then last night getting Jalen Carter, and then having Nolan Smith drop to him at 30. So
– it's crazy.
The rich definitely get richer there, but I think that's a big factor, I think, in why – Jalen Carter ended up in a good spot, because he has, you know, former teammates that he's played with before that know him and that can keep him, you know, from being a distraction off the field. And they also still have guys like Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham there as well that can kind of be leaders and set that example, not just for him, but for those other Georgia players as well.
I like the other thing that you said as well. And we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at DB Stiles on Twitter. I like that the Falcons took Bijan Robinson, and I like the fact that the Colts took Anthony Richardson, and I love watching Mel Kiper, and I love watching Todd McShay, and I love all these other guys that are out there doing that. If they were that damn good at what they think they're that damn good at, they would be a general manager for a football team. That has to be their dream, right? To be able to do that.
Right.
These guys, if you want to take Bijan Robinson with the 8th pick and you think he can help your football team win 5 more games, I would tell everybody that's telling you that's a horrible pick to, it's just stupid.
I'll say this. I think Bijan, that's not a terrible spot for him in Atlanta, because they were already a run-oriented offense as is, and I think adding him gives them even more explosiveness, and it gives Desmond Ridder another weapon to work with. With regards to Anthony Richardson, I'll say I think it's a risk.
It is a risk. I agree with you, but it's a great reward,
Right, and that's why the Colts did it. But, you know, the one thing about him that does concern me, he obviously has the athleticism, and I think if they're going to run a similar offense to what the Eagles had or Jalen Hurts, since they brought their offensive coordinator as a head coach, then, yeah, there's potential for it to work, especially with that offensive line. But the one thing about Richardson that does give me pause is the fact that he doesn't have that, you know, requisite number of starts. He only started 13 games at Florida. That is a legitimate concern, because guys that, you know, don't have that kind of experience or have very minimal experience to get drafted don't usually end up panning out. And I could give you one very specific example in recent memory that would be near and dear to my heart. So that's one of those things. Could it work? Sure. But it's definitely more of a gamble, I think, than, say, Carolina taking Bryce Young or Houston even staying at 2 and taking C.J. Stroud.
You know what changes a little bit, B, is I saw Patrick Mahomes twice against Iowa State. Horrible. Horrible.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's Kansas City thinking? Get him in a situation, figure out what he does best, and manipulate it like no one's ever done. And Patrick Mahomes is who Patrick Mahomes is.
Right.
And if they have that type of ability to do that with Anthony Richardson, then, you know, he gets to sit behind somebody for a year. Patrick Mahomes did, and it was a great learning experience. There's a shot. I'm not saying it's going to work, because it doesn't, you know, sometimes you get a diamond in the rough. You don't get another one, but I hope it does, because I think he's a great kid.
Well, I think it's going to be something where he's going to end up seeing the field at some point, because I find it hard to believe that Gardner Minshew is going to be the Colts starting quarterback for 17
I don't think he can last that long. I agree with you there.
No.
More surprised at Van Ness going where he did or Jack Campbell going where he did?
Can I just say as a Bears fan from Iowa that I absolutely hate where both of them ended up? being in the Bears division. I'm happy for those guys because they get to live out their dreams. So it's nothing against them personally. I just want to make that abundantly clear. But Lucas Van Ness, I guess that's a good spot for him in Green Bay because, you know, they do historically draft defense early on. And yeah, that could be one where I don't know how often he'll play right away, but they could certainly use him as a rotational guy. Yeah. I know they had Dean Lowry, and that's a guy that they've used in the past like that. I could definitely see him playing a similar role in that respect. He went about where I thought he would, and I will say this, and this is just based off of information I did know, which is that the Packers did do their homework in terms of scouting Iowa games last season, so I'm not completely shocked that they came away with somebody. I'm not happy about it, but it is what it is. As far as Jack Campbell goes, was that a bit of a reach? Maybe, but it's obvious Dan Campbell wanted him.
Yep.
And he is the kind of guy that fits what the Lions are going to want to do defensively. So, and I think for him to have a guy like Aiden Hutchinson up front as a pass rusher, having a hit, you know, that could be something where Jack Campbell, we know how good he is at stopping a run, but he also had the interceptions last year too. So if he has to drop back in pass coverage, I think he's capable of that. That could end up, there's definitely some risk there for Detroit, especially taking him that high, but they had the capital to do it. And from what it sounds like, if they didn't do it, maybe there's a chance Buffalo would have taken him late first round there. Or possibly even Pittsburgh tonight with that first pick here at 32. So it's something where that has potential to work out, and I think he'll be a good fit. And he's definitely a Dan Campbell guy, if nothing else. So I think that that's something where, you know, maybe he struggles a little bit initially early on, but I think come a year from now, I think he'll be established clearly as one of the centerpieces of that defense for Detroit, along with Hutchinson.
I think Will McDonald's going to fit in well in the Jets too, because they mm-hmm. rotate those guys around. It's probably a little high for him as well, but I think they knew what they were getting. They need somebody that can get to the quarterback and smack a ball out. So I think that's going to work. So,
well, I was joking about the whole thing there with Breece Hall and Alan Lazard, but in all seriousness, I think having those guys there as well is something that will help Will McDonald when he gets to Florham Park, just knowing that, okay, he's around some guys that he already knows that they know what it takes.
Yep.
And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Matt Campbell a candidate for the Jets at one point before they ended up with Robert Saleh as their head coach?
I definitely believe that to be true, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, clearly the Jets like what they see going on there in Ames. So, you know, maybe this ends up continuing to be a pipeline for him down the road.
Golden State and the Lakers win these to mm-hmm. Move on tonight?
I think so. I think they both win tonight.
Home court.
I will say this. I will say this. I think if the Lakers lose tonight, I don't see them winning a game seven in Memphis.
I don't either.
Yeah. I would definitely give Golden State better chances of winning a game seven in Sacramento, but I do think they both win tonight and they'll go head to head here in the next round.
Better series coming up, Denver, Phoenix, or Philadelphia, Boston.
That's tough. I'm going to say Denver-Phoenix just because I feel like Philly and Boston, we've seen it enough times that we kind of know what's going to happen there. Whereas Denver-Phoenix, I'm intrigued because the Nuggets, like I told you before, they've been consistent all year and they've been the best team in the West. But then Phoenix goes out and they get Kevin Durant at the deadline. They put him with Booker, CP3, and DeAndre Ayton. So I think that's going to be a great series. And you know, that could be one where the winner of that very well could be the West representative in the NBA Finals.
We got a minute left. Jimmy Butler going to retire a Miami Heat?
I think at this point, yeah, because I can't imagine Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra letting him out the door.
Man, what a playoff series. It's been a long time since mm-hmm. I've seen one of those.
Absolutely.
With players hurt and all the stuff that's going on. And I mean, that's, if Julius Randle's healthy, that New York Miami series is going to be a lot of fun.
It is. It is. But, you know, I think that's where the experience that the Heat have, even with the Knicks having home court, I think the experience that Miami has, even just being in the conference finals last year, I think that plays to their benefit, and I would imagine that they would come out on top in that series.
You got about 10 seconds. If you had to pick one from right now where we're at, who's winning the NBA championship?
I'm going to say Boston at this point now that Milwaukee's out.
I do too, and gosh, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I'm glad they kept them together, but what a duo. Even though they may not like each other. But have a great weekend, buddy. Can't wait till next week,
Absolutely. And
we'll talk some more.
All right, sounds good.
Talk to you later, B. Man, that goes way too fast, and he is way too good. Love it. Always love having B Styles on Fridays. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One segment left for this week. Be right back.
But if it would help to make real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Last segment on this Friday. Glad you guys came in this week. Hope everybody drives home safely, gets home there. Enjoy the weekend. Weather's going to be okay. Not great. A little rain. Need the rain. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ or at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. Website 1700thechamp.com. Twins, Royals, Saturday, Sunday. Twins, White Sox, Tuesday, Wednesday. So have all that ready to go. As always, this last segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both clients and candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 500 jobs are on their website at palmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting, finance, admin, customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking keep both the staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. I want to thank Palmer Group, Heritage Building Maintenance, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, Northwest Bank, and Woodman Controls. Okay, so just some things here. This was one. It's preaching what I'm preaching. This is Bucky Brooks and Bruce Feldman to a certain extent as well. Feldman was talking about Will Levis, and it says, I don't see it. Nobody that I talk to talks about him in any way what some of the people were saying after he wasn't drafted last night. There was a big disconnect between the NFL coaches I spoke to over the past week and mock draft folks reporting on Will Levis falling out of the first round. Bucky Brooks said this, and this is what I believe in. Mock drafting isn't scouting. There's a difference between guessing where a guy might be picked and projecting how he will play. TV has clouded that point, and prospects unfortunately believe the hype or the negativity that comes with it. And that's what I believe. I think you need to get the minutia out, that you shouldn't be listening to them, but it's hard. When you have somebody in the beginning, and this is how they get you, right? Brag you up, brag you up, brag you up, brag you up. And once they think they've hooked you, then tear you down, tear you down, tear you down, tear you down. That is not a way that a multi-billion dollar organization should have some of this stuff be working. I don't like it. And I love this. Bijan Robinson just had a little bit of an interview process, and he goes, hey, I hope top 10 running backs are a new trend. It's what it used to be. If you have your running back, go get him. Ignore the rest of the league. I'm telling you right now, there's 32 teams. We talked about this the other day. There are 16 teams right now that have a shot at winning the Super Bowl and 16 that don't. Do you think all 32 of those teams all operate the same way? Hell no. The ones that operate the way you operate a business, a personal business with personal assets, individuals, those are the teams that don't fall down and they don't drop off and they win. And you have 16 that are never, unless they change their outlook and their vision and all of that, they're never winning. Never. I mean, I like how people say stuff about the Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson, and Pete Carroll. And they take sides. They got lightning in a bottle. Russell Wilson wasn't even supposed to. I mean, they drafted him in the fifth round. They caught lightning in a bottle. And then the two, I mean, great things. And then Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, probably overblown, but just couldn't get over themselves. They needed it to be about them instead of winning more championships. I've never understood that. And I think that's why, and I know Scott doesn't agree with me, and we tease each other about this. I mean, you know, almost fisticuff over this, on what he thinks is Deion Sanders and what I think of Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders isn't blowing minutiae up anybody. If you're good, he wants to make you better. If you're not good, he's going to tell you and hope he can get you better. And if you don't work hard, you're gone. Is he all about prime time and him and getting to somewhat? That's just him. And from what's happened and everything he's done in his life and what he has in his business acumen and all of that, it worked pretty darn good. There's other ways to do it, but, you know, man, I love Joe Montana too. Joe Montana's not making a lot of money out there doing commercials and having people wanting to talk to Joe Montana anymore. It's interesting to me that stuff like that happens. I'm trying to think tonight. I agree with what B said, and I'm going to say this. If the Lakers don't play well tonight, and they don't win this game, I don't think that they can win Game 7 in Memphis, because that's just going to give Memphis even more the thought process, and the whole thing is going to help. I think Anthony Davis and LeBron James are going to have big games, and I think they're going to win. And I think the same with Golden State. If De'Aaron Fox wasn't hurt, and I playing at Golden State, that's a tough place to try to get a series to go another game. The game that the Sacramento Kings needed was the other night. And Sabonis isn't playing well. I have no idea why this is, but they do not trust Keegan Murray in this playoff series, and I hate it. I hate it for him. He's better than that. They're better than that. That's coaching. It's no different than the coaching that happened in Milwaukee, and it's probably going to lead to a change. So, I don't know. You can't go from coach of the year for the Sacramento Kings, but I think he's made some mistakes. And I don't know. And man, Philadelphia, Boston. Philadelphia doesn't have anybody that can stop Joel Embiid. The only thing that can stop Joel Embiid is Joel Embiid and him not being healthy. And James Harden doesn't look like he's healthy. And I don't know who Philadelphia has that's going to guard Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Not that they don't have other players, but those two dudes are scoring 60 points a game. That's going to be tough. Phoenix, Denver. I would love to pick Phoenix to win. They have no bench. They have no scoring. And Chris Paul's old. Devin Booker and Kevin Durant are awesome. And Chris Paul's brought them through a couple of games. I don't know about that one. Heat, Knicks. Man, talk about going to two arenas and having a home court advantage. And that one's crazy as well. So, I don't know. Speaking of Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant just signed a lifetime contract with Nike. He's the third player to ever have that happen. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kevin Durant. And I agree with all three, because all three have one thing in common. Generational players that brought different things than each other. They have some comparables, right? The will to win, the will to practice, the will to control a room. But they're different in every way, too. LeBron, I can't remember if it was Zach or if it was B. I think it was Zach saying how much money that he puts into his body to be like that. And then you look at Kevin Durant and the social things that he does and all those things. And then you look at Michael Jordan, who everything that you see, hear, read about Michael Jordan, once he stepped on the floor, man, he was basketball. When he wasn't, he was gambling and golfing and not putting the right things in his body. But he was still that dude. And I would throw Kobe Bryant into that as a generational talent as well. I would love to throw, and a lot of people do, I would love to throw Shaq in there as well. But he just didn't have, it's just not the same. And I would love to do that, but I can't. And there's people that can convince me, and they try to do it all the time. It's going to be very interesting. Kevon Merriweather, Riley Moss, Xavier Hutchinson, Sam Laporta, keep them. I want to see them in the NFL. I want to see them make a team. I want to see them make a difference. There are some other ones. Anthony Johnson, I want him to make it. I want to see these things. I want to enjoy football even more by getting to see some of these local guys do great. I can't wait. Hope everybody has a great weekend. I'm heading up to Iowa State to celebrate a little graduation stuff that's coming up. All my boys will be graduated from Iowa State. I enjoy it. Love them. Love my family. Love Nana. You're listening to Happy... No, I'm not. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. See you on Monday.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and...